Thank you in the name of Jesus. Because thank you because we are the generation that sees the return of the Lord. Father, we thank you because you are the generation that the Lord Jesus said shall not pass away until these things come to pass. Now, Father, we thank you because this has been revealed to us by your Spirit and that we are laborers in your vineyard. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because each and every one of us this year takes up their mantle and goes in the field as we bring in the final harvest. Because this is the year that sees the beginning of the final of the final harvest. Father, we thank you for a revival that we witness in our midst, that will change millions and billions of people. We thank you because it is planned, because we cannot lose, because it is prophesied, and because it has to come to pass, and because you have chosen us to be a part of bringing it to pass. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I remember a time so many years ago, about 10 years ago, when I was seated somewhere in office with a colleague of mine, and I was discussing with him about the significance of the year 2017. Now, that was 10 years ago, and it sounded like a very distant time ahead. Praise the Lord. And I was telling him why I thought it was going to be a very significant year, in as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. And now when you live here today, you'll know why that is the case. Praise the Lord. You'll know for sure that this is a very significant year in as far as Bible prophecy is concerned and the fulfillment of some of the things that we've been speaking about or that we've spoken about for a very long time that we are going to see come to pass this year. Glory to God. Now that's a big thing because some of us have spoken about these things for so long, but now finally we step into the year when we can be sure that this year they are going to come to pass. Now, there is something about years and the fulfillment of certain things that it's important for everybody to understand how the end time works. Now, here is how it works, and I'm going to tell you this. You see, there is a part of the end time that is timed. Then there is a part that is not timed. Do you understand that? There is a time when the clock has to start ticking and now the Lord has to come within a given time because that has been prophesied. Now, outside of that, there is a time which is dependent on what the church does or what happens elsewhere. Now, there are three parts of this jigsaw which have to come, which are working together, so to speak, up until they meet at one peak at the end, and that peak is the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus Christ comes and sets his foot on the earth. Amen? And the Bible says when he does that, he will set his foot on the Mount Olives, and the mountain will split in two. That's in the book of Zechariah. Now, that is the pinnacle of it all because that is the end of human government. After that, Jesus Christ himself rules for 1,000 years. And after that, after the 1,000 years, is the great white throne judgment. And in other words, there will be no other government of human beings after that. So that is the peak of it all. But there are three parts of this jigsaw that all have to come in place. One of them, which God set as his clock, as his time clock, is starts actually, the time starts ticking when God calls Abraham towards this, you know, final thing. And therefore, it always has something to do with his descendants, who are the Jews or the Jewish nation. Now, God set Israel and the Jewish nation as his time clock, specifically the city of Jerusalem. That's why he says in the Psalms that pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And he says, blessed are those that love it. Now, what happens there determines what happens. There are three parts of this. There is what is happening to the nation of Israel. There is what is happening to the church. And then there is what is happening in the world, controlled by the devil. Now, at the peak of it all is the battle of Armageddon. And all these things have been planned and have to be done. Now, but there is an aspect of it that is dependent so much on what the church does. Praise the Lord. For instance, God put it upon the church to pray for Jerusalem. Because if something happens there that short circuits God's plans, then suddenly the clock has to start ticking and Jesus Christ has to come sooner than he had planned to come. Do you understand? So that's why he puts it on you to pray for Jerusalem. Pray that his plans come to pass at the time. You know, I hope you understand that everything that God plans is dependent on us. Amen? Praise the Lord. You understand that, do you? Yeah, so that's why every time something is going to happen, you will find one person or perhaps a number of people whom you will tell to pray for it. And then by praying for it, they make it come to pass. Why is that? Because God cannot do anything in earth unless he has been asked by man. Why is that? Because God said himself that let us create man and let him have dominion over the earth. So he gave the earth to man and he can only come and intervene when man asks. Praise the Lord. The only time man could not ask because he didn't know how to ask, God came as man. Because the only way he could have authority on earth is if he's born of a woman. You understand? So now everything is dependent on what we do. Glory to God. And I preached something about that some time ago when the scripture says the marriage supper has come and the bride has made herself ready. Now the bride is the church and the bride makes herself ready. The bride is not made ready by God. It's the bride to make herself ready and then the groom comes. Praise the Lord. Now, on the other side, I told you last time, on the other side, there are forces of the world which are working and preparing the way for the coming of the Antichrist. And for them, they seem to be in unison and working together, and they really want that to come. Now, if the Antichrist came and came before he was supposed to come, then suddenly the clock has to start ticking in one way or the other. You understand? Eh? So then, now, we get into the timed period. Now, there is untimed period and there is timed period. We know there's going to be 7 years before the Battle of Armageddon from the signing. Now, all those are periods that are timed. But before that, Jesus says this gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached all over the world. And he gives so many other things that have to come to pass. So now, I'm going to bring you a perspective of the three different things that have to come to pass and show you how so many of them actually converge in the year in which we are. Now, amen. 2017. Now, this is not, you know, the usual 2017 means what, you know, those things. Eh? That's a totally different gospel. Okay, now we'll start from, before we get into actually what's going to happen in 2017, I will first give you a historical perspective. And we dig it up from way back, and then we see how all these parts of the jigsaw are related, and then we see how they peak, or they come close to a peak in the year in which we are, and then how we anticipate that they will actually reach the peak at the Battle of Armageddon. Remember, the Battle of Armageddon is a minimum of 3.5 years, minimum of 3.5 years after the rapture. So as far as we, the church, are concerned, we actually look at the rapture. The Battle of Armageddon is the end of all things when Jesus Christ comes and sets his foot on earth. Now, Romans chapter 11 and verse 12, this is what Paul says, talking about the Jews. Okay, now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Okay, remember those words. If their fall is riches for the world and their failure is, riches for the Gentiles, for us, how much more their fullness. Then he also says Ephesians chapter 2, or rather, first of all, Romans 11 still, but verse 15 of that chapter and verse, this is what he says. He says, then, no, Romans 11, 15. He said, for if their being cast away is reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Okay? Now he says, the Jews refuse to accept Christ, and their being cast away is good for us in that we get the chance to receive Jesus. But he says, what if they actually accepted? It will be nothing more than riches, number one, and resurrection from the dead. Remember, these are words not used lightly. Okay? Riches to the Gentiles. You understand? Now, you've heard about the end time revival being something to do with prosperity. You've heard that somewhere else. Eh? Now, the word riches is not used. You know, the Bible does not use words idly. They all actually mean have something. So he says, the acceptance is riches for the Gentiles. That is, for the Gentile church to whom Paul was writing. And he says, their reconciliation is acceptance. What will the acceptance be? But resurrection from the dead. Okay? Now, resurrection from the dead, you know what that means? Resurrection from the dead is actually going to be rapture. Because on the day of the rapture, those who are alive, those who are dead first in Christ have to resurrect. And then those who are alive are caught up with them. You understand? So he says, so he's actually tying the return of the Lord to the acceptance of the Jews of Christ in one way or the other. Now, if you understand what the Jews thought the Messiah was going to be, then you know why it is difficult for them to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, based on their traditions, and one of their medieval scholars called Maimonides gave a definition of what they expect of the Messiah. This was done in the medieval ages around the 1100s. He says, the King Messiah will arise and restore the kingship of David to its former state and original sovereignty. He will rebuild the sanctuary and gather the dispersed of Israel. All the ancient laws will be reinstituted in his days. Do not think that the King Messiah will have to perform signs and wonders or bring anything into being. Now he's actually getting at Jesus, saying he didn't have to do all that. He's supposed to restore the law. Now that's what they believe. That's what they believe. They believed the literal restoration of the kingdom of David and making them the great kingdom they were under David. Now, they didn't understand the son of David as being something spiritual. They actually thought of it as physical. But now Jesus himself, when he's going to die in the city of Jerusalem and he's on the Mount of Olives and he's riding on his colt and he looks at the city as he's entering into it for the final time, going to be killed in it. He says that if only you had understood, talking to Jerusalem, and said, if only you had understood the things that make for your peace, but now they have been hidden from you. And he says, now your enemies will come and surround you and build an embankment around you. And he actually prophesied what was going to. He said, if they had known what would make for their peace. Now, you don't understand that until you've studied the history of the Jews and seen how at no one time after that prophecy came to pass of Jesus, shortly after he died, did they ever have any moment of peace whatsoever? At no one time. All the way until they actually had their own state. But even then, it has been fighting, and actually more or less by the same people who are in opposition to them. Because Jesus told them, now, the split there between the church and the Jews happens there. Now, if you read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 to 16, this is what it says, Ephesians 2, 11. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. Okay, who are called uncircumcised by the Jews, okay? Who are circumcised with the hands, okay? Now go ahead, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, that is, without a redeemer, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, he's saying the commonwealth of Israel, okay? Common between who? Common between them and us, you understand? Now we are cut off before Christ. And he says, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the wealth of promises of God, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Remember, Jesus said, if you had known the things that make for your peace. Okay? Now, he himself is our peace, who has made both one, the Jew and the Gentile. Now, this is the mission of Jesus. Before he came, only Jews, you know, had the promises, had the prophets and had that. Now, when he came, we become members of the commonwealth of Israel. And he has made both of them one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, that's so important, the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so to create in himself one new man from the two. One new man from the two. That's making what? That's making what? Okay. Now, but you see, actually, after the day of Pentecost, the church was first, and Paul says it so much, first the Jew, then the Gentile. The first 21 years of the church were Jews only. Okay? It was 21 years from Pentecost until the conversion of Cornelius, who was the first Gentile to be converted to Christianity. 21 years. So he says, so the first 21 years are Jews until now the Gentile church comes in. Now here is the interesting thing, that when the Jews, when the church was with the Jews, the Gentiles were persecuting it. Now when Christianity came to the Gentiles, the biggest persecutors of the early church were who? Jews. Who was chasing Paul around and tying him and beating him to close to death? Who was it? It was Jews. It was his fellow Jews. Now, you see, because Jesus Christ states his mission as coming to make the two one and to remove the separation wall, now the devil has fought throughout the centuries to make sure that the Jew and the Gentile see themselves as totally different. The Jew and the church, actually, in this case, see themselves as different and actually persecute each other. And they have taken turns at persecuting each other all the way up to about now. Praise the Lord. And now, until the two actually accept, the Jews don't have to accept Jesus Christ, but the Christians, and Paul put this on us, or the Bible actually put it on us, that we actually have to accept them regardless of whether they accept Christ or not. Okay? Then it will be for our peace and also for theirs. But that has not happened at all, because I'll tell you that, and yet actually God linked the destinies of the church and of the Jewish people together. When something good happens to them, something good happens to us. And by the way, also something good happens to the world. Okay? Everything good that happens to the Jews happens to the Gentiles, or rather to the Gentile church, and then happens to the world as well. All and you can tie it down to all the major innovations, to printing press, to aeroplanes, to what. Everything happened when something good happened to the Jews. Then somehow somebody discovers the Wright brothers, start doing experiments on flying, and suddenly they bring flight. So that has always been the case for 2,000 years. But the work of the devil has been to make sure that at no one time do these people see themselves as complementary, rather as opponents of each other. Praise the Lord. Now, so the Jews persecuted the church all the way up to 66 AD, when the Jewish nation decided to rebel against the Roman Empire, under which they were. And then they said they were out of the Roman Empire. Now, of course, at the time that Jesus was there, and all throughout this time, there were three sects of Jews. There were the Sadducees, were those who did not believe in parts of the written. There are two parts of the, there's the Torah, which is the first five books, and there is what they call the written law. Now, they didn't believe in it. So these Sadducees never believed in resurrection, and they actually had accepted the leadership of the Romans, and they were given glorified positions among them, their friends. So in other words, they had sold out to the Romans. Now, on the other hand, there were the Pharisees, who were kind of in between. They believed in the Torah and the written law. They believed in resurrection and so many other things. However, they were caught in between. Then, on the other extreme, they were what they call the Zealots, who for them, they wanted to fight the Romans. They did not believe that they can serve the Romans and serve God at the same time. So now all these three, the Zealots took over and decided to rebel against the Romans, which was not perhaps a very good idea. That is 66 AD. So the Roman Empire sends, and was still strong at that time, sends army, comes, ransacks, builds an embankment around Jerusalem, which is what Jesus had spoken about. And they remain in siege for 4 years. They eventually fell in 70 AD, from 66 AD. Now, the Jewish nation was destroyed. But in the same 66 AD, the Romans come and attack Israel, the Jewish nation. 67 AD, Nero becomes emperor in Rome, and then something happens. At about the same time, the city of Rome goes in flames, goes up in flames, and guess what happens? Nero blames it on Christians. So that began the era of persecution of Christians. Actually, that was the time, around that time, 67, 68 AD, is when the apostles, Peter, almost all of them, the only apostle of Jesus Christ who died a natural death was John. All the others were martyred. Actually, Peter and Paul were martyred by Nero at around that time. Okay? Now, that kicked in an era of persecution. So you see, in the world, Rome gets burnt. In the Jewish nation, they are ransacked. And actually, for 4 years, they can't leave the city of Jerusalem until they eventually have to come out because of hunger and all those things. Then, in the church, persecution starts, which lasts all the way. Now, when the Roman Empire is persecuting Christianity, the Jews are part of it, okay? Also persecuting Christians. Then until the tables are turned in 312 AD, Constantine's wife was the emperor of Rome. His wife converts, then the emperor either converts or becomes sympathetic to it. Anyhow, the persecution stops around 312 AD. And now guess who is persecuting the other? When the Christians come into Rome and now have power, now they turn on the Jews, okay? And now that has been the story all throughout. Now, actually, they completely and totally turned on the Jews, that it was very bad, because some of the thinkers of, I'll read for you what some of those people wrote about the Jewish people. And these are Christian people. There's a guy called John Chrysostom. How many have heard that name? If you're a Catholic, you've heard that. He's a saint. Saint John Chrysostom. And some of you are called that. Okay. Now, this is what, he was a patriarch of Constantinople, which is, well, what would be Istanbul today? This is what he said about Jews in about that time. Jews are the most worthless of men. They are lecherous, greedy, rapacious. They are perfidious. Get your dictionaries. Murderers of Christians. They worship the devil. Their religion is a sickness. The Jews are the odious assassins of Christ. And for killing God, there is no expiation. Or in other words, there is no repentance. That's what you're saying. Because they killed, how do you kill God? So you're saying there is no expiation, there is no indulgence, there is no pardon. Christians may never seize vengeance. Now this is a saint, a leader in the church, saying Christians should, but you see the devil is using, so anyhow. Christians may never seize vengeance. The Jews must live in servitude forever. It is incumbent on all Christians to hate the Jews. Saint John Chrysostom. Okay? Now, then there's another saint, Gregory. You've heard of that name, Even there have been popes who are Gregory. Gregory of Nyssa. This is what he said about Jews. Slayers of the Lord, murderers of the prophet, adversaries of God, haters of God, men who show contempt for the law, foes of grace, enemies of the father's faith, advocates of the devil, brood of vipers, slanderers, scoffers, men whose minds are in darkness, leaven of the Pharisees, assembly of demons, sinners, wicked men, stoners and haters of righteousness. Now these are people who actually shaped the way people thought at that time. So now Christianity was very hostile towards the Jewish people. And now all this devil's plan very well. Because he knows as long as these two are opposed to each other, the revival that was promised cannot happen. You understand? Because he knows the world will remain in darkness, the church will remain in darkness, and the Jews will remain in darkness as long as the church and the Jews do not come together. So he works on those things. Okay. So within that time, within a short time when the Christians took over, after having been persecuted by the Jews, now the Christians are in charge from around 470 when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. Within a short time, Jews living in the empire had lost most of their civil rights. For example, a Jew to marry a Christian was an offense punishable by death. Okay? The Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, was forbidden to meet. sermons against Jews, often inciting people to violence, were routinely preached. The idea of presenting Jews as the killers of Jesus originated at this time and has actually remained in the church and was the cardinal theology used by Hitler to kill the Jews, that they killed Jesus. Of course, Hitler didn't care about Jesus. He was a Satanist, okay? But he just wanted something which is going to win him people, win his hatred for Jews, whatever. So anyhow, so they used taxes on them. They used usury. Now, they said Christians are not allowed to lend and borrow money. It's only Jews who are done, you know, or who would do that. And then, of course, if a Christian didn't like to pay you back, he could accuse you of anything and they kill you or something. Yeah? So actually, and yet somehow the Jews continued having a bit of wealth anyhow. So they were heavy on taxes and things like that. But I just want to take you through a bit of this before I go into what is actually happening today to show you why all this, why the devil has gone, you know, through a lot of whatever. Now, every time something bad happened that was extreme to the Jews, for instance, it is not by coincidence that in 1349 and 1348 and 1349, the Jews were expelled from all German states and they were expelled from Hungary. Those 2 years were the years in which there was the plague. You've heard of the plague in Europe, which killed 25 million people, half of the population of Europe, was wiped away in a plague. Okay? Now, that also was the worst time for the church because it went into a period of complete decay, absolute complete decay. Remember, the only church there was the Catholic Church. Now, 25 million people died. That was half of the population of Europe in the plague. Of course, they blamed it on the Jews, but perhaps a more scientific reason, apart from the spiritual one that I'm presenting to you, was the Europeans of the medieval time did not bathe. They actually, because it was spread by fleas, flea-infested rats. Now, those guys actually used not to bathe at all. They would go a year without showering. Actually, sometime they would go a year without even changing clothes. And it was customary that on Easter, around Easter, I don't know why they chose Easter, that seamstresses or, tailors would go and sew the clothes on them. And now they sew it on Easter until the following Easter. So the cloth does not leave the body, which means there is no bathing. Eh? And that's actually what you saw. When the plague jumped, it hammered them seriously. And by the way, that's actually what has been. But, of course, it was, blamed on the plague. It peaked around the same time that Jews were chased out. Now, that's not a coincidence. Amen? Okay. But I want to rush through this very fast so that we get to the part that is more of interest to us, eh? Apart from history lessons. But also, this is important to build a perspective before we get into what we are talking about. Around that same time, Jews of the plague, okay? When the plague was killing people, Jews were being killed by Christians. By Christians, mark you, Christians, okay? Jews were being killed by Christians. In Basel, Switzerland, in January of 1349, at the peak of the plague, the entire Jewish community, several hundred Jews, were all burnt alive in a wooden house, which was constructed on the island purposely for that. They had them there and set them ablaze, okay? Thousands of Jews who, now, but then something happened. Okay, later on, things changed. Now, for instance, when the Jews were chased almost out of, they were almost chased, by the way, out of almost all of Europe. From England, from France, from Hungary, from German states, from Austria, from Lithuania, from Spain in 1492, and from Portugal. So everywhere they would go, they chase them from here, they go to another place, they chase them. And you know, they're also very, you know, they don't assimilate. They remain stoic and what they are, and they easily stand out. And actually, they put a law that you have to wear something to show that you're a Jew. It's more or less what was happening in the days of, you know, the Nazis and Hitler. But anyhow, now, but you see, historically, God has always dealt with every nation according to the way they deal with the Jewish people from the days of Abraham. Amen? So when Pharaoh says that kill all the children who are born, God drowns all the army of Egypt in the Red Sea. Okay? Now every place they went, the nations that accepted them actually prospered. One of them actually is Turkey, the Ottoman Empire. And Turkey was an Islamic empire, and were they noting that actually Jews were treated better by Muslims than by Christians? Okay? Now, thousands of Jews fled from Spain after what was called the Spanish Inquisition in 1492 to Turkey, which has historically been nice to Jews. Now, the Sultan of the Turkish Ottoman Empire said this: "They tell me Ferdinand of Spain is a wise man, but he's a fool. For he takes his treasure and sends it to me." Now, this is a Muslim saying that Jews are treasure. And actually what happened, when they came there, the Ottoman Empire for the next 400 years became very prosperous and very powerful, and actually subdued Spain and almost all of Europe, all the way up to Austria. Anyhow, that's a matter for another day. Now let's move on. 1492, when the Spanish Inquisition, one of the worst years for the Jews, America is, well, it's covered in quotes, but you know what that means. But that's not all. Pope Alexander VI bribed some members of the College of Cardinals to elect him as Pope in that same year, on the same year that the Jews were thrown out of Spain. Now, this is, the popes were bad. This one was at another level of being bad, okay? Because he brought the papacy to the height of complete, you know, immorality. Now, other popes, of course, had secret affairs and what, but Pope Alexander VI openly flaunted with his reputation as a ladies' man, okay? And he actually had portraits of his mistresses hanging and being portrayed as Mary, the mother of Jesus. He was in total contempt, even of Christianity, and he was the Pope. And he fathered so many illegitimate children and actually accepted them as his children. So he basically threw everything. Now, at around that time, that's when Martin Luther goes, first of all, in 1506, the Pope decides to build the biggest cathedral ever built, St. Peter's Basilica, you know it, in Rome, okay, where they unveil the Pope, 1506. Now, that was going to be the biggest cathedral, and actually remained the biggest until 1989. But it needed a lot of money. So in order to finance it, the doctrine of purgatory, so people who were dying had to pass their wealth to the church so that they go straight to heaven by passing where? Purgatory. Now, actually so many people, now the church, it's important to know that the church was so powerful because they had both political and spiritual power. So they can kill you here and even send you to hell. You understand? So they were that powerful. So now, now they started selling indulgences. Indulgences were, pieces of what which you would buy from the Catholic Church to assure you that your sins are forgiven. So you buy this one on your deathbed, you pass all your wealth, instead of passing it to your children, you pass it to the church, and then you do what? You are assured of going straight to heaven. But that's not all. The Pope sent out fundraisers across Europe, and they kept on telling people, "Your father is in purgatory. We can hear him even crying from here." Then they would even imitate the souls in purgatory, saying, "My son, remember what I did. You buy that thing and save me." And actually, they started a song that when the coin in the coffer rings, then the soul from purgatory springs. Sounds like a nursery rhyme, eh? But it collected a lot of money, which built St. Peter's Basilica. Now, at around that time, Martin Luther went what has this got to do with 2017? Katani Kabutandis. When Martin Luther went to on a pilgrimage to Rome around 1506, later than that, he found all this complete corruption of the church. So he went back to his cathedral in Wittenberg in Germany and had the crisis of confidence, or rather of conscience, and said, "How can the church be like this?" But because he was a priest, he was one of the few people who had access to the scriptures. So he read one scripture which said, "The just shall live by faith," and that changed him. So November 1517, went and hanged what are called the 95 theses, asking the Catholic Church how they can justify their doctrine vis-a-vis the scripture, and he hanged it on the door of his cathedral in Wittenberg in Germany. Now, because the printing press had been invented just earlier, his thesis went across Europe, and now suddenly resistance against the Roman Catholic Church started, and then Reformation, what is called the Reformation. Now, it's important to note that 2017 is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther. And the Pope and the Lutherans and the Protestants and what met, it's a one, they are using 1 year, it started 2016 to 2017. Now, 1 year they met and they determined that they are going to nail the foundation of the one world religion within this 2017. Now, do you know what all this has to do with what we are talking about? Okay. Now, the Pope went to the biggest Lutheran church is in Sweden, actually. So they were celebrating the beginning of the 1 year celebrating the Reformation of Martin Luther, which was December last year, November actually last year. And the Pope went, and for the first time, a pontiff said anything good against Martin Luther, because his son actually who took the authority away, because so many states banned Catholicism and took Protestantism or Lutheranism, whatever it is. So, but now they are coming together. And what are they saying? The Pope said, now we also agree like you that righteousness is by faith, not by works. So there is no point in Protestantism. So the protest is over. You've heard that, haven't you? Now, I told you last year, in October actually, they sat somewhere in Canada, I think in Montreal, and they came up with the world, what did they call it? Human rights of religion. Okay? So, it is an attempt to nail and harmonize all religions into one. Now, remember the Bible says in Revelation 13 that there is a one world religion, one world government, and one world economic system. Okay? Now, that is the fulfillment of prophecy that we actually, all those three coming together represents the devil's part of this coin, remember. Then there is the churches, then there is Israelis. Now let's move on from there. Now Martin Luther also had a small problem, because he had seen how shamefully the church had treated the Jews, and he had a plan to change it. Okay? He was sure that the reason Jews did not convert to Christianity was because they couldn't stomach the corruption of the church, of the Roman Catholic Church. So he thought that now that the Jews would see that Protestants are different, okay, that they would embrace Christianity. So he wrote in his work, that Jesus Christ was a Jew. And this is what he wrote. For they, the church clergy, have dealt with the Jews as if they were dogs and not human beings. They have done nothing for them but curse them and seize their wealth. I hope that if the Jews are treated friendly and instructed kindly enough through the Bible, many of them will become real Christians and come back to the ancestral faith of the prophets and the patriarchs. Guess what happened? It didn't happen. The Jews were not interested in his reconciliation. They said, sorry, for us Christianity is a cult. For us we follow Torah. So now that completely annoyed Martin Luther. He actually took it personally, very personally. And now this is what he wrote about the Jews later. After they had refused, as soon as they had rejected his overtures and had not converted en masse as he had thought, this is what he wrote about them. What, and now he says, concerning the Jews and their lies, what shall we do with this damned rejected race of Jews? Since they live among us and we know about their lying and blasphemy and cursing, we cannot tolerate them even if we do not wish to share their lives. Even if we do not wish to share their lives, curses, and blasphemy. Perhaps we can spare a few of them from the fire and flames. Let me give you my honest advice. Now, this is Martin Luther, the man who said the Jews should be treated well. Eh? Now, this is his honest advice. Number one, ban all synagogues. Number two, destroy Jewish holy books. Number three, forbid rabbis to teach. Number four, destroy Jewish homes. Ban Jews from roads and markets, forbid Jews to make loans, seize Jewish property, force Jews to do hard labor, expel Jews from Christian towns. That was Martin Luther. So somehow, even he, the reformer, came And the devil confused him because he doesn't want that connection back between the Jews and the Gentiles. Otherwise, Jesus' work is complete. Remember to remove the what? Separating wall. Remember the scripture we read? And make the two one. Okay? So that also failed. Now, anyhow. So, you know, that continued all the way. Now, the Jews actually, when secularism came in Europe, is when the Jews actually had some freedom. Because suddenly now nobody was interested. There was Karl Marx. There were all these people who believed there was no God. Communist manifesto and all that. So somehow nobody cared about the Jews and they left them practice their thing. So actually that was the best time for them. But it lasted a short time. Now let's get very fast to what. Now, it's important to know that all the revivals that happened in the church at that time coincided with something good that happened in the Jews. Now in 1897, I told you last time, is when that man called Theodore Herzl went and convened a convention of Zionists in Basel, Switzerland. And this is what he said after the convention. They asked him, what did you do there? He said, we just created the state of Israel in there, 1897. And he said, they may not know it right now, but in 5 years or in 50 years, the whole world will know it. That was his take on it. Actually, in exactly 50 years, the state of Israel, 1947, the state of Israel was voted into place by the United Nations in November, exactly 50 years. I don't know if he was being prophetic, but that's what happened. But 5 years later is when revival actually came to the church, because around that time is when the Pentecostal movement started in the Azusa Street revival, and everything that we are actually now started around that time, because for the first time ever, somebody spoke in tongues and the revival started now. This whole thing went on, and every time there was something in the Jewish nation, 1917, there was something in the church. 1947/48, there was something in the church. But 48 also started the devil's time, started running the devil's clock. So 1948, Israel becomes a nation. There is a revival, major revival across the world, actually, that now even goes to China and what you've heard of people like Watchman Nee. But also at around the same time, a number of things happened. The European Economic EEC was formed, which actually is going to be the foundation of the coming of the Antichrist. The Human Rights Charter, which is now forcing homosexuality down people's throat, was also started around that time. And the first ever Alliance of Religion meeting was held also in 1948. All the things that also matter to the devil were there. And also, you've heard me talk about Alice Bailey and the book called The Plan, which she said was the devil's plan. She actually said that to rid the world of Judeo-Christian values and introduce a new world order without God. The book was published in 1948. So you see, when it's happening in the church, it's happening in Israel, and it's happening also in the world of the demons. Now, the 1960s, what happened in the church? That's when the peak of the revivals, the evangelists, the Oral Roberts and all that. But also in the world, the devil created his cultural revolution. That was the time of the bands, the Beatles and all those things, when there was an absolute cultural revolution across Europe and America that created the world that we see right now. That's when people rebelled against the idea of one man and one woman for life, and they kind of got another, you know what I'm talking about. The music became weird and all those things, and all the arts and the culture was this around the 1960s, when a revival was in the church, and also when Jerusalem was going under the control of the Jews. Then it goes all the way to 2017. Praise the Lord. Now, what happens in 2017? Let's see. Now, let me just show you some of the things, the headlines that passed without you knowing, that are going to shape the air. Now here, let me tell you something. The things that actually matter are the things that are passed quietly. The things that you're fed on CNN, are the things that don't matter. You understand? Because this is CNN, a nuclear threat far greater than Iran. The consequences of a limited nuclear war, such as a conflict between India and Pakistan, would put 2 billion lives at risk. Now, this happened in June, but it's very important. Remember what I told you about the alliance in Revelation 13, when I told you about the alliance between the UK, Russia, China, Let's read it for the sake of people who are attending the first time. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast arising. Now this is the beast talking about the Antichrist. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns were crowns, and on his head was a blasphemous name. Okay, let's go ahead. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Remember I told you the leopard is what? Germany. Germany, the national symbol of Germany is a leopard. You understand? Eh? This is not forgery. It's like the crested crane is for Uganda. So, okay. Leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear. Which country has a symbol of a bear? Russia. And his mouth was like mouth of a lion. Which country has a symbol of a lion? Great Britain. Okay. And the dragon gave him his power. Which country has a symbol of the dragon? China. Now, this alliance is the alliance that brings the Antichrist. Germany, the leopard, the bear, Russia, the lion, Great Britain, and the dragon, China. Now, at the time, it was impossible to see how Germany and Britain can break away from America and somehow be in an alliance with China. Do you understand? It was impossible until in June this year, Theresa May takes over. And then she invites China to come and do nuclear weapons in the UK. And they share nuclear in the UK. Do you understand? Nuclear is not something, it's not like business. It's like letting somebody into your bedroom, not your sitting room. Okay, because that means that, you know, now when you have a joint nuclear agreement with somebody, you don't just get out of it now because that's risky business. You understand? Okay, let's go back to the to our headlines. China will own part of a new UK nuclear power plant. Okay, let's go ahead. Of course, this attracted a lot of criticism from America, from whatever, Obama and the next. Let's go to the next. Now, look at this. 2.5 billion people, nukes and missiles, what could go wrong? Okay, India's nuclear capabilities affects China. Now, what CNN, this appeared on CNN, and you can be sure they didn't pick it from the Bible. Amen? Now, what they were saying here is when India successfully tested an intercontinental ballistic missile or, you know, ICBM, a nuclear thing, and it caused a lot of anxiety in China. Now, their combined population is 2.5 billion people. 2.5 billion people, the population of the Earth right now is just over 7 billion. So 2.5 billion would be about, what fraction? One third. Okay, Revelation chapter 9, verse 16, what does it say? So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill what part of mankind? A third of mankind. So you see, when I see 2.5 billion people at risk, and the Bible says there is coming a nuclear war, it says nuclear, I'm going to show you where one third of mankind is killed, and 2.5 billion would be about a third of mankind, and I know CNN didn't pick it from the Bible, then you know why I think it's very significant. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I had the number of them, 200 million. Now, there is only one country, right now that can field an army of 200 million. By the time John wrote this, in 95 AD, the population of the world was not 95. Was not even to the whole world. I'm sure even if you included Africa and Asia, which they didn't count at the time, the population of the world was not 200 million. But he says he saw the number of the army was 200 million people. Now there's only one country that can field an army of 200 million people, including if you include the reserve, and that's China. Okay, now go ahead. And I had the number of them, 200 million. Go ahead. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. Now, if you look at the flag of China, it has all those colors. I don't know if that's coincidence. Perhaps it is. Eh? But you know, when you're dealing with Bible prophecy, there are no coincidences. Because John sees, you see the flag of China, it has red, blue, and yellow. Okay? And the heads of the lions out of the mouth, and the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. What is fire, smoke, and brimstone? In today's language? Nuclear. You understand? What other weapon has fire, smoke, and brimstone? What is it? But let me prove it to you elsewhere. So you see, when CNN says 2.5 billion people at nuclear risk, and the Bible says a third of the people will die in a nuclear war, And then you know CNN didn't pick it from the Bible. Then you know that we are living in a very important time. Now let me show you another scripture. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. And this shall be the plague which the Lord will strike on all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. How do you summarize that? Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. This is nuclear. You understand? Okay? This is nuclear described by a man 1,000, or rather 2,400 years ago. Okay? So, God shows him what will happen, and he describes it in his language. John said, fire, smoke, and brimstone coming. This man says they are standing, and the flesh starts speeding off them, and their tongues, let's read it again. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. That can only mean one thing. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the headline. So, 2.5 billion people at risk. But somehow, you didn't see that headline, did you? No, because the things that matter pass under the carpet. The things that don't matter are the ones they feed the world on. Now, I want you to understand that's how the world is run. The world is run on deception. The way you treat your kid when you want to watch a movie and you give it a toy to play with. So now the media is the toy that they give you while they pass the things that actually matter. Now, in the immediate aftermath of India testing the ICBM, guess who else tested? Pakistan. And you know, India and Pakistan are traditional rivals. Go ahead, let's look at these headlines again. India tests nuclear-capable ICBM. Fake news leads to nuclear saber. Trump, Putin, seek both to... Okay, nuclear capability. You see all this nuclear. Now, this year, you're going to see nuclear. It's going to be the talk, nuclear. Anyhow, it's the frightening prospect, India and China going to war. The two countries are home to 2.5 billion people. Now, this is picked from CNN, Okay, from Channel 4000, actually, but picked from CNN, as you can see, Hong Kong, CNN, okay? The countries are home to 2.5 billion people, a long and sometimes disputed border, which they fought wars over, and each have nuclear weapons. And India announced last month that successfully tested an Agri-5 whatever. Now, so, okay, let's move on to the other headlines. Pope marks 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation in Sweden and praises Martin Luther in a hugely powerful symbolic gesture, which leads to the one world what? Led by the Pope, okay? Now, the fact that he actually went, this was in October, the end of October, he went to Sweden to celebrate the anniversary, the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther, was very key. Okay, let's move on. That's it, eh? Now, let me tell you some other things that are going to happen now, there's a number of things. Now, the United Nations, now this is the most important. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord who stretches the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within. In other words, thus says the Lord who is God. Okay? He's establishing that he can do anything he wants. Verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, I hope you understood now. On 23rd December, 2 days before Christmas, on a Friday, the UN sat and passed a resolution, you heard it, that condemned the settlements of Israel. Now, some of you don't understand how important this is, but condemned Jewish settlements in West Bank, which is called Judea and Samaria in the Bible, Judah, and in East Jerusalem, okay, which they claim is going to be the capital of the new Palestinian state, so they claim. So they sat and they passed that resolution. Now, they did not stop at that. Now, it's important to understand one thing. Last year, 2016, the UN passed 24 resolutions. 24. One against Syria, one against China, one against North Korea, and one against Russia. And 20 against Israel. That is a fact. 20 resolutions. Sorry. In place of China, replace North Korea. But the others went because they are not significant. The only one that is significant is it makes it illegal now for Israel to claim ownership of the city of Jerusalem. Now, the Bible says that Jerusalem, when it comes under the control of the Jews, as it did in 1967, shall never again go under the control of the Gentiles. The Bible says that. But the UN says that Jerusalem has to belong to the Palestinians. Now here, it says, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now, all the nations of the earth. Now, what happened is that resolution meant that if Israel continues to build settlements, the United Nations can actually gather an army against it. Now, the Bible says United Nations will actually gather an army against Jerusalem, okay, which is going to be the key thing. Now, these things are not natural. They are spiritual. The devil wants Jerusalem because God says Jerusalem is his city. Now, he wants it. The devil wants it. And very, very badly. Now, the UN, the only thing, they sit the whole year and the only thing they are thinking about is Israel. Can you imagine? North Korea has been building, has tested nuclear twice this year, but they have one resolution against them. But Israel has 20 against them. So the only thing now, the whole UN, which is actually controlled by the devil and is the platform for the New World Order, the whole of it, the whole of UN, the only thing that matters to them is Jerusalem. Why? It's a spiritual thing. And it's very important. Now, they have laid the foundation. Now, not only did they do that, they also hired somebody and paid him a lot of money to go and list all the companies that do business with the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Why? So that they might boycott their products. Why? Because they can, so that they can affect Israel, you know, financially and so on and so forth. And why was it important for Obama to do that? Because that's what the liberals wanted to do. Now, I told you here before that people think that this whole thing of, you know, the American election was a simple thing. I also thought it was a simple thing, and I thought it doesn't matter. Until actually, it turned out the way it did. Then, the Lord impressed it on me that if Hillary Clinton had gone through, he might have had to come in the next 3 years. Why? Because now the whole liberal world was going to take over and prepare the stage for the coming of the Antichrist. And when the world prepares itself for the coming of the Antichrist, he comes. And why does the devil want that? To catch the church and God's side unawares. You know, like, you're moving your pieces. You understand? Like you're playing a board game. Now, the devil wants to go so many steps ahead so that God is caught off sight. Okay? But you see, unfortunately, that can happen because God is dependent on what? Now, if the church in America hadn't prayed and that, now you see, the whole thing. Everything has changed in America. Everything has changed suddenly. Suddenly, all the people who are promoting homosexuality were voted out of office, just in case you didn't know. Suddenly, now, in Ohio, the legislature passed a law in which it is illegal to abort after 6 weeks. Now, that is, they are now gaining ground on abortion because it had come to a level where government is funding abortion clinics. And not only that, but they are paying women to stay with their pregnancies until 8 months so that they abort at that time, more or less remove the baby and sell the body parts. And there was an organization called Planned Parenthood, which was selling body parts and actually had a price list for body parts if you want to buy. And it's the same as going to a restaurant and they say chapati and vinyegwa. 5K, you understand? And they are saying kidney and what? Planned Parenthood, go and check it out. And do you know what was with Planned Parenthood? Obama's government was giving them $500 million of taxpayers' money to do that. You know, those people caught me in their rubbish 8 years ago when I supported Obama. But after 1 year, I realized they have sold us a chihuahua. You understand? The only thing that mattered to him, do you know, there are things which he did which are unthinkable. Now, there's a picture of him which came out immediately after he took power. When he's sitting in his office and with his feet hanging up like this. And they took a picture of him from the other side, showing the bottom of his, you know, shoes. And he's on phone talking to Netanyahu. Now, if anybody knows, now that might mean nothing to you and me. But in the Middle East, nobody shows you the bottom of their foot when they are talking to you. It is the ultimate in despising you. And now, nobody takes a picture and it comes out of the Oval Office unless Obama has You know, and you understand, you don't just go and take a selfie there and, you know, or go and take a picture there. It has to. Now, the fact that Obama lets a picture of him seated with both his feet up, showing the bottom of his shoes, and he's on phone with Netanyahu, was basically trying to tell him that that's what I think about you. And now every Jew or Muslim knows that. Okay, everybody in the Middle East. That's why the other guy got his shoe and threw it at George Bush. You remember? It wasn't just because he didn't have a stone. No, he's showing him that's how he it's a symbol of how much I despise you. You understand? Now, so from the beginning, now he sat in a meeting with Netanyahu. And I was looking at this. The first thing he did when he came to office, and he was talking, and he said he left and went to have lunch in another place, and said you called me when you have something new to say. Now the hostility of this. Now, if Hillary Clinton had gone through it would just be mopping up what Obama has been trying to do, and then the whole world would be turned around. The devil would suddenly be so many steps ahead, and the church is still here waiting. People are still waiting to get married before the Lord comes. Now, so it was so, I didn't understand all of this, by the way, at the time. So now, something else happened of the headlines. It was in one of those newspapers, actually almost all the newspapers. The European Union Parliament voted to create a European super army to replace NATO. Remember, I told you, how can Europe break away from America in order to be in the alliance that is prophesied, that we've spoken about? Because NATO almost, you know what NATO is? Okay, it stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. What it is all the countries in Europe, most of them, Western Europe at least, are supposed, because they were scared of the communists and the Iron Curtain, so-called, they were supposed to give 2% of their GDP to America, and America protects them militarily. In other words, I've told you this before, if you're Denmark, you don't have money to create a serious army, okay? But it's okay. You just give 2% of your GDP to America. If anybody attacks Denmark, America is your protector. Now, that is the NATO agreement. So it says you attack one member of NATO, you've attacked everybody, including America. So that's how Europe was protected from the might of the Soviet Union. But suddenly, of course, because of Donald Trump, he has been saying, because many of the countries, including Italy, France, even the Netherlands, even the UK, have been defaulting on their 2%. So America has been footing all the bills of the protection. So Trump comes and says, no, this NATO is not working. Now suddenly the whole of Europe is on red alert. So that's why they were scared if he goes through, because actually they have been, you know, then he goes through. Then now, in November, they passed £420 million pounds a year of a European super army to replace NATO. And guess how, when it will be ready, up and running, in less than a year. So in other words, 2017, we are going to see the one world religion in place, 500 years of, Martin Luther. We are going to see the European super army. Why is that important? For those of you who have not been following the Waterman, it's important because the European Union is the 10-horned beast, which is with Russia and China and what? Remember, it says leopard and what, and then 10 horns. The European Union is the 10-horned beast, which joins those four countries that we've spoken about to create from where the Antichrist comes. Now they have their own army. And it will be up and running this year. They launched it. The resolution was passed in Strasbourg in November, and they said it will be up and running in less than 1 year, so 2017. So now suddenly, everything that we've been waiting to come to pass is actually in place. What are we waiting for any longer? The one world government led by Europe is almost there. Now America, something else happened which is important before I finish. Listen to this. America, also around October, discovers the biggest oil wells in the world, several times bigger than what is in Saudi Arabia. Why is that important? That's important because the Bible actually says that America will be a protector of Israel in the end times. The only reason America has been cautious in their support of Israel is because they need oil from the Arab countries. Now they don't. Because they have more oil discovered in October. Go and read. More oil than Saudi Arabia. Suddenly, they are energy reliant. So they no longer have to bow down to the whims of countries like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and all those things. They can have their own oil and natural gas and what? And all this waits for a time when Obama is leaving office. Eh? Anyway. But you see, and so Trump has come out and said, number one, and I told you here that the relationship between Israel and America is going to be at its strongest now. But it is going to bring the biggest opposition to the nation of Israel. Now, also, the relationship between the church and Israel is going to be at its biggest. So it is going to cause the biggest revival in this year that you have ever seen. Now, also, listen to this. I've been telling you about what happened in Europe and America and all that. So where does that leave Africa? Here is where it leaves it. The biggest revival in the end times is going to come from this continent. And actually, is already underway. Some of the men of God you see there, eh, whom you see around, eh, including the watchman, eh, are international. Now, and some of you as well, do you understand? Eh? Now, Europe had their time, they fought what? Now, actually, how do you know that? You remember the guy whom I told you about, the guy called, what's that guy who, eh? Robert Mawire, the guy from Zimbabwe, where God sends an African man from Zimbabwe to go and build a city for the Jews, and is collecting money from all over the world, an African man, and he has access to the Prime Minister of Israel. He respects him. You remember what I told you? He went and gave him a prophecy, you're going to become the Prime Minister and what? So, an African man. Why is that significant? Because God is showing that now, well, first we have no issues with what? With the Jews. Now, but the next revival is actually coming from this continent. And now you're seeing men of God. Now you see Europe and America, their gospel went in two words. Words and gimmicks and all those things. Okay, most of them. Actually, a good number of them. There's a lot of gimmicks and what and dancing and what, all those things. Eh? Now, the spirituality of the church is in Africa. And Africa is going to evangelize the world. Now, today somebody, and people don't understand this, somebody came to me today. He must even be here. And he's been having these dreams. He told me he dreamed when he went and, he's a young man who I think hasn't been too many years out of campus. He went and dreamed when he evangelized a woman putting on a hijab. Then she accepted the Lord. Then he saw so many of them have accepted the Lord. Then he saw, now he's there. He are doing these things. Actually, he has been led by the Lord to go to and study Arabic. Now, he's going to go and evangelize in Saudi Arabia. Now, that is just one person. Now, he went and told his dream to some people who don't understand what's happening. And the person told him, no, you're just a young man. Also, as we used to be on a fire like that, you will mature. You understand? Eh? So he decided he's not going to tell his dream to anybody until he came to me. Eh? And man, he actually came when I was in office almost dozing. Now, when he started telling me, I was like, what? Now, there are so many people like that who you're here, but somehow God is building. Within a few years, you will be in shock at the plans that God has for you. Praise the Lord. You'll be in absolute shock. And not just, not Uganda, not all of us can be here. You understand? Like, international. Now, that guy, I know. Somehow, he wanted to go to the master's. Guess where he went? Got a chance to do a master's. In the Middle East. Then now, Arabic. And now, he's every day he dreams when he's converting Muslims. Now, that is the man. Now, we are going to have the last laugh. Praise the Lord. Africa is going to have the last laugh. Glory to God. Because we received the gospel last. And, somehow God has to involve everyone, eh? Those people had their chance, they did their things, now it is our turn, eh? We are the ones on the what? On the catwalk, eh? We are the ones doing what? Praise the Lord. So, the men of God you're seeing, eh? Man, are international, you have no idea. Just give it this year, you'll see, this year, eh? Including the watchman, eh? Eh? Give it when? So, now, the stage is set. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, I cannot tell you everything about this year in one sitting. Eh? So you next time maybe you'll come and we'll continue with what I some of the things that happened. But I want to know the headline of the European Super Army, very important, very important. Nothing could happen until that was in place. The headline of the nuclear threat of India, Pakistan, and China. Very important. What happened in America, Donald Trump, and now him coming out strong and even putting, tweeting that don't worry, Israel. Okay, basically saying that wait for this clown Obama to get lost. What happens, wait for January 20th. Okay? Because he is going to, and now, because the church is going to be emboldened. Now, already we know that Angela Merkel, who is like the Obama line of thinkers, eh, is on her way where? Like, because I even saw the other day, they have already started the protests, Merkel out, Merkel out. Okay? Now, we also know in France, François Hollande is out. That one we know for sure because he's not standing again and the elections this year. Okay? And we even have a prophecy on who is going to what? Become prime minister. Now, it happened in Britain first, Theresa May. I know it was because she actually has she has views which are contrary to what most Britons are in terms even of Christianity and everything. Eh? She's a fairly conservative woman. So now all this thing is sweeping across Europe, setting the stage for the perfect evangelization. Now, some people are here. Don't worry about visas. Eh? They will come offering you a visa, and you tell them, let me first finish sleeping. Eh? Because you are the one who has the answer that God has put in you. Praise the Lord. Eh? Like, you don't have to worry about those things. Eh? Somebody told me, how do you write on Facebook, blasting homosexuals? They will not give you an American visa. I say, when God wants me to go to America, eh? If that guy there refuses to give me a visa, I will fire him. Like, I hope you understand eh, that God is more powerful than all these world systems. Eh? Yeah. Glory to God. So now, you don't get yourself scared of the things that God is playing his movie. Eh? And you are one of the people involved in it. You are one. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am a star in God's movie. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? And remember, Startify. Start a Korachi. Yeah, and you're a star in God's movie. So, just chill. And now, Russia, what, South America, people are going to be coming from Uganda. And now, let me tell you, I have had prophecies about Uganda. Uganda. And I had those prophecies from a long time ago when it did not even look like anybody from this country can have anything worth presenting anywhere. You understand? Eh? But there was a man, it's a prophet in America called John Paul Jackson. He died. Eh? He passed on recently and is now with the Lord. Eh? A wonderful man of God. So I'm listening to him on Desta, and he comes and they say, what is the Lord telling you? The guy says, the Lord is telling me about the nation of Uganda. He has never been to Africa. He says about the nation of Uganda. That Uganda, that is going to be a springboard for revival. Uganda. The man doesn't, he has never been here, he doesn't know what takes place here, but the Lord is telling him it's going to be a springboard for revival. Praise the Lord. Now this is the year. Eh? Somebody just said this is the year. Praise the Lord. Eh? It cut, you know, katandi kabutandis, eh? Like katandi, now, eh? Some of you didn't watch those movies, eh? Or where you come, the movie is halfway and they're telling you katandi kabutandis. Glory to God. So now, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we're expecting in the year of our Lord, 2017. The Jubilee of Jerusalem becoming a Jewish city. Fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel. Jubilee, 2017. 70 years. Since Israel was voted by the UN into becoming a state, 70 years. 100 years from when the Balfour Declaration was made and Jews were allowed to go to Palestine, returning to their homeland. Now, that is a very important biblical prophecy. Some of you don't understand these things. Eh? But Jews going and sitting in Palestine is a big prophecy. And exactly 120 years since the other man, Theodore Herzl, said he had created the Jewish state. Only people will know it in 50 years or 5 years. Anyhow, now, also, like the biggest understanding between the Jews and Gentiles this year. And what did Paul say? Life from the dead. And what did he say? Riches. What did he say? Riches. Now, you've heard people elsewhere talking about prosperity to the church this year. That's it. Now, for them, they will give you the prophetic part. For me, I'll give you the Bible prophetic part. But you also had me talking about pre-words. What's that word? Prepondo. Okay. Prepondo. Preponderance. Yeah? A word which I didn't get. Now, the other word which I'm going to end with right now as I've come to an end is iconoclast, which I also got from the Lord. I didn't know what it means. But it is going to be an attack on the Jewish state from Islamic, and they are going to be going for specifically for religious sites of the Jews, specifically around the months of September and October, when you will see Islamic blowing themselves up outside of key installations, even in Bethlehem, which is under them, which are important to the Christian faith and all these other places, but in the city of Jerusalem. Now, that's what the word iconoclast means. You go and check it up in the dictionary. But basically, it means coming against sites that are of relevance to worship of any kind. That's what the English word means. Now, I was praying somewhere, and I just heard those two words. I first heard the word iconoclast. Then I went and checked the meaning. And I wondered what that has got to do with 2017, because I was trying to look into the year 2017. But now I know what it means. It's specifically for the nation of Israel. Then I also had the word preponderance, which means, what does it mean? Go and check it up. Superiority in what? In weight, in power, and in whatever. That was for the church. And those for me were my two words. Now the rest is Bible prophecy. Now prepare for the revival. Praise the Lord. Now here is what's going to happen at an individual level. Some of you have been listening to the gospel, and you don't know where you start from, okay? This year, you will get your first instruction from the Holy Spirit to set you off. Those people who registered to be a part of this ministry, I was talking to them, and I told you when my first instruction came. And it did not come with sitting people in a place like this, okay? It comes small. Go and do this. Then I went and did it. Then it leads to the next, and the next, and the next. Now, this year, you get your first instruction. It can be start a fellowship at your home. It can be start a music school to teach people how to play music. It can be something, but you have your role to play in regard to regard. It can be start a business, because not everybody. Like, actually, it is going to be start a business, real estate, tourism, and things like those, eh? Now, you get your first instruction, but you do it not speculatively, but as an instruction from God. When this ministry was started, when the Lord told me to start a radio show, that was my first instruction. Before then, I was studying all these things, studying them, and I didn't know where it was all going to end, until the Lord says, now start a radio show. Then from a radio show, he says, I'm telling you this for your benefit. From a radio show, he says, now I want you to organize a conference. Some of you remember the Watchman Conference. Now, from the conference, he tells me now you have to organize meetings where you speak to people every week. Okay? Then I did that. Then it grows and grows and grows, and I just wait for the next instruction. So, like, I am a child waiting for the next instruction. So, and I am doing the previous instruction until the next one comes. Okay? Now, this year, the instruction will be now spread out of Uganda. Okay? I know that. Now, your first instruction, if you are not in active ministry, is going to come this year. So prepare yourself for it. You've not been learning for nothing. You've not been learning all these things for why. They are supposed to impact you to play a certain role in this end time thing. Praise the Lord. So look for your role and make sure you don't let us down. We don't want a team which has attackers, but the defenders are like what? Are like Arsenal defenders. Eh? You understand? So everybody, you know, like everyone has to be involved one way or another. Praise the Lord. This is not about you coming and listening. And there has to be, praise the Lord. Okay, let me pray for you. That I'm praying for you that you know where you are involved. Amen? How many people want to be sure where you're involved in this? Okay, now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because this year, these children of yours receive an instruction from you and they will know for sure where to start, how to move, and how to trust in you. They don't have to see the whole picture at the beginning, but they just have to see the first step. And I thank you, Father, because when they are faithful in executing that step, there will be another, and another, and another, and they step into their end time destiny. Because for that have you called us, and for that do we stand here, and for that do we believe that your spirit leads us every day. Now I thank you, Father, because nobody is left behind. Nobody is left behind. Nobody is left behind. Nobody is indifferent. Nobody that misses their station. Nobody is left by the train. Everybody stands up. Everybody who is under the hearing of my voice this day stands up to do that which they are called to do. I thank you, Father. I thank you because you bring the right people in their lives. I thank you because you connect them to the right people. You put them in the right places. You connect them to their destiny helpers, the people who will speak the right things into their lives. I thank you, Father, because slowly by slowly they learn how to grow in this knowledge, the knowledge of how to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.